Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Let's talk about alcohol for a second, because we all know that moderation is needed with alcohol. But how can young people keep that in mind when it affects their decision making? And how else is it affecting young brains? Well, award-winning science writer David Robson wrote about it recently and came across some really interesting info that might help us just rethink our approach. David is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. David, from a legal perspective, we are adults at 18, but can you explain in a simple way why our brains really aren't?
Right. I mean, so the brain continues to develop well past the age of 18. We could say that, you know, it's substantially mature by 18, but there's still, some way to go. The main changes include really a kind of pruning of the long distance connections within the brain between two key areas, and those are the prefrontal cortex and the limbic system. Now, the prefrontal cortex is involved in kind of control, reducing your impulsivity, whereas the limbic system is involved in pleasure and reward. So the kind of the lack of full maturity in these regions can explain why people in their late teens, early 20s are still quite impulsive. They can still take risks. They still are kind of thrill seekers. Mm-hmm. And that's really not, that development really doesn't finish until around the age of 25, at which point you can say that they're fully adult in their maturity and their thinking and behaviour.
Okay. Now, your article for the BBC Future looks into this issue really in depth, but what kind of experts did you talk to when you were putting it all together?
Yeah, you know, really kind of top neuroscientists from America who have studied brain development, but also specifically looking at the effects of alcohol on the maturation of the brain. So these people, these scientists would track their participants, you know, from their early teens right through to their mid-20s, and they would keep track of how the earliest stage of drinking of these teens and young 20-somethings, and then try to see what the effects were of that alcohol consumption on the development of the brain.
Okay. Let's look at physical aspects outside of the skull. Why is the body of a teenage adult less able to process alcohol compared to an adult in her mid to very late 30s, like myself?
Right. So the problem really is that, you know, we know that kind of smaller people tend to be hit by alcohol more than larger people. And that's simply because if you have a bigger body, you there's kind of you have more blood.
Yep.
So the relative concentration of the alcohol is lower simply through this kind of basic physical fact. Now, most people don't reach their adult height until they're 21. So that's already meaning that each drink you have is going to raise your alcohol content in your blood a little bit higher. That concentration is going to be a little bit higher than it would be when you're older at your full height. But also teens and people in their early 20s tend to be very lean. You know, they don't have the bulk of someone who's reached 30, 40 or 50. Mm. And for similar reasons, it means that the concentration of alcohol in your blood and ultimately what reaches your brain is going to be just, a little bit, but noticeably higher for someone who's younger compared to someone who's older. So it means that you're going to get drunk more quickly. It's going to have more of an effect on your brain.
Okay. Wow. What about the type of alcohol? Does it matter the type of alcohol or no?
It doesn't seem to. I mean,
no.
What's really important is just the quantity of alcohol that you consume. So whether that alcohol is coming from whiskey or beer or wine, it's just the total absolute amount of alcohol that you consume that's really important, and the speed at which you consume it. So anything that you can do to slow down your drinking, meaning that your body can absorb that alcohol a little bit more slowly, that's going to tend to mean that you stay in control better than someone who's drinking very quickly.
Okay. One of the most fascinating parts of your article compares the European model to the American model. Can you describe the two for us for a second?
Right. So, I mean, this is a really common myth, and it's something that I believed was that actually, you know, in the US, they have very strict drinking laws that mean that people can't drink until the age of 21. Whereas in Europe, is kind of less tightly controlled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, often in some countries such as Austria, the drinking age was 16, so 5 years earlier than the people in the US. And the assumption was that with the European model of drinking was that with these laxer laws where you might be drinking at home with your family, it's kind of a soft introduction to drinking culture. So you learn how to drink responsibly with the people around you, and you don't kind of binge as soon as it is made legally available to you. The idea was that in America, you know, you might not be able to drink legally until 21, but because it's prohibited, it's like a forbidden fruit. So you might be more likely to drink beforehand. And then once it's available to you legally, then you kind of go wild with this newfound right. But the research I was really surprised to find shows that there's no truth in this assumption. European countries with their laxer drinking cultures do not have a healthier relationship with alcohol compared to the American teens and adolescents and then adults. And we can see that both, you know, in the effects of the alcohol on their lives, you know, in terms of car accidents, all of that kind of thing. But we can also see, you know, how much people binge drink. And actually, in Austria, for example, the obvious comparison, when alcohol becomes legal, those kids are like 25% more likely to binge drink than the American kids who are 21 and have been allowed and have suddenly been allowed to drink alcohol. So waiting just those 5 years has really encouraged more responsible behaviour rather than, as had commonly been assumed, encouraging greater binge drinking.
Can we both agree that the UK and Ireland probably have a worse approach than either?
Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah.
In that I feel like we, you know, this midpoint doesn't really work for us at all. You know, having said that, I think it's not just about the age limit. I think 18 is a totally acceptable age limit for drinking. But I would say it's also the fact that it's not really policed very well here. So it's very easy for kids to get access to alcohol at a much younger age. And also, I don't really think we have good conversations about it in school or with our parents to really help people understand the risks of alcohol. So I really think we need to, we need more education on this. And especially something I was never aware of when I was a teen and I was drinking was the fact that it could have these long-term effects on the brain. So it could actually slow or prevent that maturation of the brain that's actually so important for becoming a functioning adult.
That makes sense. That answers a lot of questions with regards to my immature brain. That answers a lot of questions.
Right,
but do you know what? Can I just throw in a mad theory? I think we're turning a corner very, very slightly, in a sense that, I'll give you an example. Nowadays, when I go to the gym at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it is a wash with 15, 16, 17-year-old lads. And they're not going out on weekends and they're in the gym now and they don't want to drink because they don't want to ruin their gains. So that is problematic in itself. They have, you know, there's another issue there. However, it might curb and it might stop this underage drinking or drinking too young. It might, it might be a factor towards that in the future, which is a positive thing, I would suspect. But what else is, you know, apart from that, I mean, is it banning ads? Is it more education? Do we all need to be aware that it's not good for teenagers to be drinking?
Absolutely. You know, and I totally agree, actually. I think drinking culture is changing in the UK. I've observed the same thing that we, you know, I think teens are just much more health conscious, and that includes drinking more responsibly. There's not the kind of cachet that I think we had when we were younger, where you could kind of feel proud to kind of talk about all of the antics you got up to the night before because of the amount of alcohol you had consumed. So I think that's a positive sign. Then I do think, like you say, we should be careful about the way products are advertised. I think there's already some tight regulation in the UK about, you know, designing adverts that can be deliberately targeted at younger teens. So I don't think that's so much of an issue anymore. But I think these ads should also contain these warnings about those dangers for younger drinkers, especially, because that's really what comes out of this research, is that drinking might not be, is obviously not a healthy behaviour for anyone, but it's especially dangerous the younger that you are. And no one's, you know, none of the scientists I spoke to were really claiming that we should all become teetotal, but we should be aware of those risks. And we might just decide to encourage our children and, you know, younger relatives or friends to just wait a little bit before they start drinking and to be just a bit more careful about the alcohol that they consume.
Great stuff. I mean, I really never thought about the dangers for young people or knew about the dangers long term before chatting to you. So I appreciate you coming on the show and thank you so much. You're always working on really interesting projects. So what's coming up for you?
Thank you. Well, I do have a new book coming out in June. It's coming out June the 6th. And that covers, it's called The Laws of Connection. And it's about 13 social strategies that can transform your life. So it's really looking at a huge body of research from psychology that examines all of the psychological barriers that we have that prevent us from forming deep, profound relationships with the people around us. And we know that social connection is hugely important for our health. It's having a good social network is as important for your longevity as whether you work out or whether you eat a healthy diet. And this book is really just looking at how we can avoid sabotaging our social lives and really make the most of the relationships that we have and how to form new ones.
Amazing. Thank you so much, David Robson. Thank you for joining me today to talk about how alcohol affects young brains and what we can do about it. You can find loads of David's writings on davidrobson.me.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.